Welcome back, friends, to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and we are on part three of our series on showing up online and in person as your best authentic self. And I hope you're enjoying these series. If you have not yet, check back on all of this is season two, obviously, but episode 106, we had Speak with Confidence, Learn What to Say and How to Say It, featuring Emanuela Hall. And then episode 107, Make Your Business Stand Out with these simple marketing tips from Kristen Lawton. And I have to tell you, today's show. So before I always hit record and I'm just talking to the guest, I always say, I'm okay if we take a different path than intended. If we get way off track, I'll pull us back onto the path. But I always say, you know, I'm okay if we go a different direction. And let me tell you, our guest today, Marisa Corcoran, and I covered a lot of ground in 30 minutes. And we went on a lot of different paths, from microbreweries to even handling some, you know, haters and people who aren't our fans. We did cover copy, the main topic of our conversation and Marisa's expertise. And let me tell you a little bit about Marisa before we do jump into today's show. So if you're ready to discover what to say and how to say it to magnetically attract your dream clients, then you need Marisa Corcoran in your corner. In addition to writing the words that get landing pages converting at 60% or higher, and crafting personality-filled emails, Marisa is the creator of the wildly popular Copy Chat Summit and helps coaches and creatives craft their uncopyable message inside her program, the Copy Confidence Society. Her framework has been featured in Business Insider, Thrive Global, and Voyage ATL. When not click-clacking on her laptop in the Atlanta Sun, you can find this Harvard grad analyzing a Real Housewives episode like it's government policy and consuming inappropriate amounts of nutrageous bars. So she dropped so many life and business nuggets in this episode and in our conversation. So I hope you enjoyed as much as we enjoyed recording it. But hold on tight. This one gets juicy. Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to my true calling as a visionary strategist and coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and discover the joy of entrepreneurship, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome back to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and we are in the middle of our series on just showing up as your authentic, your best self. And I am so excited to have our special guest on today, Marisa Corcoran. And she is like the copy queen, the copy star, you want to follow to really learn how to get the written word out there and make sure that it feels authentically like you, not somebody else. So Marisa, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited that you're here today.
Awesome, Sherry. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I'm always excited to speak to somebody because you're in upstate New York, correct?
Yes.
And that's where I'm from originally. So it always feels like, I don't know, a connection to home to talk to somebody else who, are you from upstate New York?
No, so I'm not from here at all. My husband is. My husband's Troy. I'm a military brat, so I've been all over the place. And let me tell you, today, you would not miss upstate New York because it's one of those deceiving spring days. It looks very sunny out and you go, it's like, oh my
God. And it's cold.
It's so cold.
I can't do it. I had to ditch it. I had to ditch it for the warmth of Atlanta. I get it. Yeah. I remember just as a kid, you know, it could snow in May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I'm jealous that you're down in Atlanta. That's our dream once my husband retires, that we are leaving upstate New York. We'll come back to visit. It's a beautiful place to visit, but
Oh, I can't live here anymore. So.
Yeah, the winters are brutal. I understand. We come visit a lot at the end of summer into fall, and we'll stay like last year we stayed for over a month.
Wow.
But then it snowed like the end of October and we were like, okay, we're out.
Yeah.
We're like, we're leaving. We stayed like through Halloween. And then I think it was like that maybe November 2nd. We were like, okay. See you guys later.
Yeah, that's a great time to come upstate. It's like the end of August where it's brutally hot down south. And little reprieve from that. And
it's the best.
It's a fall. Yeah. Like upstate New York. So, and I was trying to remember because I know we had that connection. And then I think we also bonded over microbreweries because your husband were doing microbrewery tours. And so were we, as kind of just our like, I got to get out of the house for COVID.
That's all we've done.
Yeah.
Is we because there weren't a lot of places that you could go to where you could have that 6 feet of space where you could have space. And breweries tend to be these old kind of warehouses or buildings where there is space and there's a lot of outdoor space. So we just started just going around to them and finding our own little like nook outside and trying different beers. And Atlanta has a ton of breweries. Every time you turn around, there's another one that we haven't experienced. Is it the same in upstate?
Yes. Yes. And they keep popping up. Yep. They keep popping up everywhere. So,
which is really cool. Cause when I was a kid or even just a few years ago, it was really wineries, but I feel like there's been this uptick now where my friends at home will be like, oh yeah, it's from this brewery that's near here. And I'm like, there's a brewery there. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love seeing just a small business, you know, any type of small business make a go of it. And it's just, and I'm not even a huge beer drinker, to be brutally honest, but
me either. I only drink one kind, like whatever. My husband jokes, I'll drink like the dad beers, like the super light, like what would be like a cool, like the brewery's version of like a Miller High Life or something. Oh. Those are like my go-to beers. And I just drink those wherever we go. I'm not like my husband who knows stuff about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's fun to go try different ones. And I'm kind of the opposite. I like the IPAs and stuff like that, but I can't drink much of them because they're usually high alcohol content.
So. No, those, I can't do it for that reason. My husband loves IPAs and I'm like, I can't, nope, I'll stick with this dad beer. And then I like trying any flavored beers, like anything that has like candy in it. Like, oh, this is a coconut milk stout. I will try that.
Yeah.
You know, I like anything that's like got candy to it in some way.
Yeah. I should like that because I love dark chocolate too. But anyway, so let's get on to the actual topic here.
Yes.
So share a little bit, Marisa, about your story, because your journey to get where you are today is a very unique journey and I love it. So share with the audience a little bit about how you became known in the coffee world.
Yeah. Well, the craziest part, there's a few tales of how it happened. And I think one of my favorite connections of how I really realized what I was kind of meant to do actually came from, I used to carry around this human spine in a suitcase, but it wasn't a real spine. It's not real. I graduated from the MFA program in acting from Harvard University, and I was an actor. So when I went back to the city, I needed a job where I could audition whenever I needed to. So I got a job kind of daylighted, you know, when I wasn't auditioning, I kind of daylighted as a sales rep, like a sales ambassador for a chiropractic office in Midtown Manhattan. And so I would go around to these high-end like offices like JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, Equinox, all these places. And I'd waltz in with my science class skeleton, the pamphlets, all the things to like get people to come in for appointments. And I found I was really good at it. Like to the point where one day I was talking about it with my boss and my other friends who were also good at it, by the way, because what we realized was this acting connection. And a lot of us, our close rates were like 85%. So why was that? And we realized that, yes, we of course believed in all the non-invasive remedies that could help any New Yorker. I mean, just getting on the M train could just destroy your body, let alone you're working at JP Morgan, you're trying to, you know, navigate the city. So I believed in the care of the wellness center and the chiropractic care, but I also applied my acting skills, which was, I would have like one call to action with them. I was listening to their like pain points. I kind of coupled that with my own stories and humor. So they knew I wasn't just like a, you know, like a robot and a pencil skirt. And I was able to connect with them. And I found that they really loved this process and would not only say yes to coming in for an appointment, but they would stay on. They would become kind of loyal patients and customers. And so I realized that everything that makes you a compelling actor on stage, that makes you mesmerizing on stage and screen, are the same things that can be applied to business. And I had been writing copy also. My other side gig was writing copy on the side for businesses. So when I started to apply the same things that I was learning at the doctor's office to the my acting, to the copy, we saw such change in my client's copy, like really great conversion rates and giving them the results that they wanted. And so I had been writing on the side, and then I said, you know what, that's another story, but I decided I wasn't going to act anymore. And I just went full into the copy world and really brought the acting stuff with me. Was that, okay, how could I teach this in a way that I found was really easy for people to understand and fun? Because I would have all these literary characters or movie references or acting references that would help people understand the power of like connecting and communicating and copy in their business. And, you know, here I am leading this really incredible community that's just devoted to copy and messaging, which is really, really beautiful.
Yeah. I love all that. And I love how you really did. You took who you were at your core and you grabbed the best of this, the best of this, the best of this, and you put it into this business that obviously is where you, your wheelhouse is, where you really shine. And it is where you get to show up as your best self. And that's kind of our topic through this thread of conversation, just showing up as your best self. And when you hear that, because sometimes some people, like I had a conversation with somebody else about authentic, and it's such an overused word. Mm-hmm. When you hear that, or how do you maybe help your business, the clients that you work with, show up as their best self, to show up in an authentic way, or as I know one of the things you like to say is that it, whatever you create is uncopyable.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about all that. I know that was kind of a loaded question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good, Sherry. I agree with you. I feel like we just throw, like there's a lot of words that are kind of thrown around online, like, you know, be authentic. And okay, you may be a person that can like see through that and break it down, but it's kind of hard sometimes for us to see ourselves or see our own strengths, even for me. So when I first started writing, so my acting name was under my maiden name, which is Marisa Frado. And when I started writing and started getting more clients, I didn't want people to know that I was an actor. So I was just dating my husband at the time. We weren't married. And I asked him, could I use your last name so that I could have my writing website? And that's how Marisa Corcoran was born. So crazy to me. I never intended to use my married name. No offense to my husband. I always intended that I would just stay Marisa Frado. But oddly enough, what I started to be known as was a writer, but I tried to keep those two worlds separate. And what I realized is that when I actually brought something that may seem unconnected and created the connection, that's when things really took off for me, was to say, oh yeah, I'm Marisa Corcoran, the writer, but where I get all this from is that I was an actor and here's everything that I bring to the table. So sometimes there's these connections that we don't realize. So in the Copy Confidence Society, we actually kind of start here. As you know about Sherry, we talk about like uncovering your copy star, because it's one thing to say, okay, go find your authentic self. Best of luck, Sherry. Come back and tell us what you find. But I think that it can be hard to uncover that. So we have this system called the copy star, and there's five of them to choose from. You can also be a combo. You can also be a combo. So you don't have to just be one. But why we start there is that very often online, it's like everything you want, Sherry, is outside your comfort zone. And that's true. But I think that we discount a lot of things that we're naturally great at because we see either these one kind of personality online. So we go, oh, I have to be like that. And that doesn't create an uncopyable message. So we created the copy stars, like the relentless cheerleader, the nerdtastic leader, the hooker with a heart of gold. There's these different ones to choose from, or finding a combo so you can see where do your strengths lie and are those coming out in your copy? Or are you kind of doing what everyone else is doing? It gives you like a nice barometer to actually measure. And then we pair that with this thing called the credibility star, which helps you find connections in your past lived experience, education, things that you might not think make you a great coach or service provider or entrepreneur, but actually do, just in the same way that my acting career directly links to why I'm so great at what I do. But at first I thought that they didn't go together at all. I don't know if my answer is helpful to you, but I think,
yes.
is that helpful?
Yes. Which, by the way, I think I'm a Wonder Woman and ruthless cheerleader combined, I think.
Great combo. So you're like such a champion for your clients and like the ultimate kind of coach and leading people on. And you do this all with a big like movement to make the world better in some place. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like that's alive in your copy?
Not yet. No.
But see, now don't you see like, okay, now I know what, right? Instead of sitting down and going, how can I be authentic? Mm-hmm. Like you don't. So I think that the copy stars do such a great place to go, oh, okay. Like me, I am like a hooker with a heart of gold all the way, which is beautiful to be. But sometimes I need to tone it down just a tad. So I borrow from some of the other stars to give me a little bit of that. And I don't need to tone it down just a tad, but in times when I want to, I can borrow from the other stars, but that helps me as opposed to sitting down and going, what's my authentic self? And now it's just like, okay, Sherry can look and go, okay, where can I add more cheerleader and Wonder Woman to my copy? And then we'll break down. And then in the society, we break down what those areas look like.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And as you were talking before too, you know, when you're talking about like where everybody says you have, it's outside your comfort zone or success is outside your comfort zone. I mean, I was raised hearing that. But it's like, okay, what if we started to shine within our own comfort zone?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where the
spotlight, right? And that's what we need to do in our copy.
Yeah. When I first came into the copy world, Cherry, I mean, everybody that was talking copy or business, I felt, you know, you like gather around the virtual water cooler and I felt so I didn't belong. Like I wasn't obsessed with data. I wasn't sitting around and like being that nerdtastic leader. And I remember being like, do I have a place here? I actually am obsessed with this show. I don't know if you've seen it on the Magnolia Network called The Lost Kitchen. Mm-mm. Okay. You need to watch it. So good. But Erin French, who is the head of The Lost Kitchen, she talks about like she never went to school to be a chef. It's kind of like this lived experience that she has. I mean, and she runs this, just go look up The Lost Kitchen. It's so, so interesting and good. And she talks about like she never felt almost that she belonged because she wasn't this like chef with the hat and in the kitchen and yelling and had all this training. It was really this lived experience. Her dad owned a diner. It's through her own life, how food had been this comfort to her and the world that she brought. And I felt so much that way about copy because I was like, I'm not this person. So do I belong here? And what I realized was, okay, my strengths were in connecting, in communicating, in relationship building. I'd been an actor. So I'm not going to worry about doing those how-to blogs because let somebody else who that's where they shine, let them do that. So I knew, okay, I'm going to have a Facebook group because if I can like run my own little show, I know that that's going to be comfortable for me. And the Copy Chat Facebook group became like that living room for me and being able to connect. So finding my strengths first and then seeing where the gaps were. And some gaps don't need to be filled and other gaps do.
Talk a little bit more about that. What do you mean some gaps need to be filled and some do not?
Like, I think a lot of times, I get this from my clients a lot. Okay, I'll give you an example. So one of our past rock stars in the Copy Confidence Society, her name is Kelly. And when she came to the society, she had been focused on sales copy. Everything was about sales copy. And we were like, okay, actually all the things that happened before that could do the selling for you. So she walked herself through the system. She changed her website to really speak to her ideal person, which is women who suffer, who want to unlock their happy weight without disordered eating. So it's a lot of women who've been through this trauma of disordered eating. So Kelly thought she had to be like very buttoned up, very serious, but actually she found adding her personality, it really brought those women out and seeing like, wow, it felt like you were speaking right to me. So Kelly actually shared this inside the Copy Chat Facebook group about a month ago now. She came in and spoke, like did a little update. And her discovery calls are converting at almost 100%. And that's because people basically are reading the website and they're like, oh, I already want in. And her blogs before they even get on the call with her. So we had this little check-in. And before we go live to do it, she shares with me. So now she says, now my attention has to turn to social media. I got to be better on social media. And I was like, wait, time out. Why? If how people are finding you is through the website and the blogs, why wouldn't you go deeper into that and bring more eyes to it? So that's an example of a gap that doesn't need to be filled. And if you think about Kelly's client, is a woman who's suffered from disordered eating going to be commenting under an Instagram post going, yeah, girl, me too? Probably not. It's probably likely that maybe they haven't talked about this before. So see, we don't take enough time to actually take into account our ideal client and what's actually working for us and how do we go deeper. And it's not our fault because online, right, Sherry, every time I scroll my Facebook, it's like a new ad of like, wait, do I need this? Do I need to learn how to do this? So there's some gaps that don't need to be filled. For me to sit down, Marisa, me, and work on how to blog, sure, I could do that to build a body of work if I wanted to. If that brings me joy, sure. But that's not where, if we look at my team and we look at the data, that's not where new clients come from. New clients come from hearing me speak on podcasts, the copy chat, and my emails. So why wouldn't I put my attention there? Is that clearer now?
Yes. Yes. And I love all of that because, you know, I'm huge in with the whole Clifton Strengths, which is about who you are, your DNA, who you are as a person. And that whole premise is quit worrying about what you're not good at and do more of what you are good at as a person. So it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Is if we don't want to be on Instagram, I don't know, you just gave me like just lifted a weight off my shoulders because
yeah. Don't do it.
You know, we do feel like sometimes as entrepreneurs or coaches or creatives that we have to be everywhere. We have to be all things to all people. We have to learn how to do this. We have to learn. And just as we learn one thing, then we're off to the next thing. But I just love what you just shared. Just show up what works best for us. Where do we shine best? And then master that to get really, really, really good at it.
Yeah. You can always expand. Mm-hmm. But it's just what we talk about messaging too in this society. I want you to be a specialist in a sea of generalists.
Mm.
And that goes to your content too. If people know, oh, like I'll use myself as an example. People know if they want to see me go live, that's going to happen inside the Copy Chat Facebook group. That's my content lab. That's where everything starts and ends. That's where all my work goes into. And that works in tandem with my email. And I do Instagram, honestly, Sherry, because I really like it. Like I love Instagram stories with all the weird filters. And I created this character called the British Witch. And I like to be in the purple. But if I didn't like it, if we look at the data, Instagram isn't bringing me my clients. I do it because I like it. And the minute that I don't like it, I wouldn't do it. So I try to like, I want everybody, like all the rock stars that are around me, to just really like pare down and do less things and do those things well. You can always expand. Mm. I'm in a place now where we're going, okay, I think the copy chat this sixth season is going to be my last season of it. Because I feel like I came, I saw, I conquered. And I'm ready to expand into a next level. But I did it six times before I decided that.
Right.
And again, it's not our fault because online, every time you turn around, it's like, do you know how to do Instagram Reels? Are you on Clubhouse? Do you have LinkedIn? Are you doing ads? What's your SEO like? Like, it's so, of course. And then you either are the personality, if you're like me, that makes me want to take a nap and not wake up. Mm. So I had a very, for me, when I decided I was going to stop acting, like Sherry, that was very sad for me because I knew nothing else. Like, writing, sure, helped me pay the bills and stuff. But like, I thought I was going to be like a famous actor. Like, I was like, I'm not going to be doing this. So it was very hard for me. So when I made this transition, I really had this moment where I went, and this might've been wrong at the time, but this is what got me through is I went, okay, after this, there's no plan B. Like, if I couldn't do this as an actor, I'm going to do it here. So in order to make it happen for myself, I had to just stay in my lane and stay focused. Like, when I first created the copy chat, people were like, you should make it into a podcast. Have you thought about having a YouTube channel? Have you thought about this? And I was like, okay, nope, that sounds great, but I'm just going to keep. And I said, I'm going to do at least three copy chats before I add any ad or do anything else. And I think that was helpful for me.
Yeah, I love that because I am, and I'm a course junkie. So
I get it. I know. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong. Like, this is the other thing. This is not another topic, but there's this new thing of like, not new, but it's like, I get it. Cause there are a lot of courses that don't deliver on the promise. And there, I mean, there's so many things that are happening in the online world right now that are so true and real. But one of the things I felt is that when I come into a course situation, and we've recently made the Copy Confidence Society into a course now that I've taught it live 5 times, is that my goal is not that you come in and be overwhelmed. You have to get every single thing done. My goal is like, okay, the first 3 modules are a must. Then after that, you pick which piece of copy you need to get done and dusted in that moment. And then you have the system to go back to and guide you as you go. And I think that's a different way of looking at it. And that's how, when I make my investments, I'm like, okay, if I can get one true, beautiful thing out of this, then it's worth it for me in this moment. And then I can always go back and have it if I need it. That's what I do if I'm investing in like a course level. Mm-hmm.
This podcast is sponsored by nextdaypodcast.com. They provide podcasters like me with podcast editing services with 24-hour turnarounds. They'll look after your intros, outros, your trailers, and just take the whole headache out of the whole editing process. You simply send them your raw recordings and they do the rest. And if you're not podcasting at the moment, check out their amazing podcast launch packages. That's what I started with. James from Next Day was amazing to work with and truly made it seamless to launch my podcast. And if you use the promo code UNCHARTERED10OFF, that's UNCHARTERED 10 off, you'll receive 10% off any of their products and services. That's nextdaypodcast.com. And don't forget to use your promo code.
That's great advice. Let's talk a little bit about email and copy, because I know that and if you could just see her face, Marisa just lit up like that.
I love email.
One of the things that you enjoy and you're so good at it. What are some tips you could give? Well, let's talk a little bit about if somebody is a newer entrepreneur, because that's going to look a little different, right? Than somebody that maybe is more established or doesn't same. What are some tips you could give somebody on getting that email tighter, better?
Yeah.
People actually, like, you're one of the few that when I see your emails come through, I usually will read it because it is entertaining, but there's always a nugget of something valuable in it.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to do, but there's other people that it comes across and it's like, delete before I even open it. So how can we make sure that we are that email?
Now we stay like, in the read.
Ooh, yay,
I have to refile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think first off, you have to let go of the pressure of going, how can I make sure I'm in the to read file? Because even within me, I know I'm not in the to read file for everyone. We just scrubbed the list. We just got rid of like close to 2,000 people that hadn't opened in 90 days. Okay. So I think it's also releasing the pressure for everything that you put out. So Seth Godin has, and I could be butchering Seth Godin. Seth, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but I think this is the essence of what you're saying is, he says like 50% of what I put out into the world is below average, the content that I put out. And I think it's like everything that we do, we hope is like the best, you know, the next great American novel, like the thing that we put out. And like, you have to release yourself from that pressure. And especially as you're first starting out, it's not going to look like where my, I'm writing emails all day, every day. I also just said that's where my clients come from. So I've been able to, you know, tweak that and change it. So I think you have to allow yourself to be a beginner and where you are a beginner. I was trying this out with Instagram Reels because I didn't want to do it, but I was like, all right, maybe I'll just be a beginner. What if I don't have to be like, you know, real extraordinaire? What if I could just be average at this? And I think that that's something like going into something like email, you got to come in with that frame, that kind of mindset. And then I think I'm always going to go back to storytelling. It's our oldest form of communication. In fact, one of the most famous storytellers of all time, you may have heard of him. His name is Jesus. He taught through stories, right? Jesus wasn't like walking around like, do this, be this. It was these stories. It was the parable of the mustard seed. It was the parable of the coin. It was the prodigal son. And he like drew you in. And then there was that teachable moment. But I think what people get caught up in is they think the story needs to be like massive. So in this society, we definitely have a whole story. I got you covered. But then I'm also working on adding in this bonus of called like snippet stories, where it can be these smaller moments. So I always say coming in with a story of some way, but it doesn't need to be this big I always say like Elizabeth Gilbert, like crying on the bathroom floor in the beginning of Eat, Pray, Love. It doesn't need to be that. It can be like these slice of life moments. And is there like a teachable moment within there for you? And then people always get caught up in like the call to action. But I also don't think you need a call to action. So I used to be a person that was like, if you don't have a call to action, you're out. But it's actually not true. I think that the call to action could just be asking your audience to think on this today. I think we get caught up in all of our calls to action need to lead to book a call or do something like that. And I think that that can become like the book a call to action can become like the boy who cried wolf. It doesn't have any weight to it. And then people are like, why aren't people booking a call with me? So I actually think you can soften up the call to action and just be like, you know, I tell you this little story snippet. I connect it to a teachable moment and I, you know, think on it. That's a call to action. Or hitting reply and sharing and not just saying hit reply and tell me your thoughts, because that feels daunting to people. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts and I'm like, if I hit reply, I could be here forever. So asking a specific question, right? Like hit reply and tell me the number one thing that you blank, or tell me what the first thing that comes to mind when you read this, or where does this, where's the first place that this shows up in your business or life or whatever your niche is. Guaranteed the person will probably write you more than you asked for, but you've made it easy for them to respond and create connection. I would say that that should be the number one goal of your email, is to get people to reply to you and to create relationships. If you can do that, then when it's time to quote unquote sell, you're already light years ahead. Just make the focus. Let's say you were just getting started. Okay, for the next 90 days, my goal is to just get people to respond to my emails.
I love that right there. If anyone's listening, that is newer or just getting into email. And I'm going to take that advice myself. The 90 days of just getting people to respond to the email or just getting that connection. I love that.
Yeah. Showing those pieces. So that's where we take like the copy star and we go like for you, Sherry, to go, okay, so in these emails, is the relentless cheerleader and Wonder Woman in these emails? Okay. How can I make that the goal to have that shine? Practice a little bit of the storytelling and 90 days, just see who starts to respond, you know, and sometimes you'll send, this happens all the time. I send emails out that I'll read them back and I'm like, ooh, that was not that good. But it's just allowing yourself to like the Seth Godin thing to know, does this mean you have to send an email every day? No. Does this mean you need to send an email like 2-3 times a week? No. You could send an email once a week if you want. Right? The consistency is what works for you, what you know you could commit to for 90 days. And if you can't, you know, I'd rather you say, okay, Marisa, I'm going to commit to an email a week for 3 months straight. Awesome. Let's see what, no judgment, no expectation. We can judge it at the end. Mm. I would be like so thrilled if people like just did that without feeling like, oh, well, I see people that are emailing 3 times a week or whatever. It's like, you don't need to.
And a lot of times those are also the people that I unsubscribe. My email is so full. I'd rather one great email a week, like to be as the receiving end.
Yeah.
Maybe two. But if it's sometimes I get so many from people, it's like, no, I can't, you know, I just don't have time for this. So yeah, keep that in there. Any other tips that you would have for just making sure our copy is making it a little easier maybe, and or that it truly is our voice coming through and it is uncopyable, like you shared. Any other tips that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think there's two things is, you know, on those core pieces of copy, like your website or a lead magnet or something that's like out into the world that has a little longer of a shelf life, is looking at it and going, okay, like look at your website. Anybody that's here, like just Google yours, go to your own URL and look at that for, look at your homepage and ask yourself right at the top, the headline, whatever you have, could somebody take this and copy and paste it in a similar niche into their own world? If they could, that's okay. It just means you're not as specific about what you do just yet. So where could you make things a little bit more specific for yourself? And that could be adding in some personality that makes it so, oh, I do copy and someone else does copy, but you're not going to get like me confused with one of my friends that's also living in their full copy star. And that might be like a change of a word or a phrase. We also talk about this inside of the society, but we call it like having your word closet, like really looking and seeing what are the common words and phrases that you tend to use. This is going to become just like, look at past text messages that you send people, or asking a friend or a partner or somebody, hey, what do I say a lot? Like when I ask my friends, they're like, oh, you say soup to nuts a lot. It's like an Italian thing my grandma used to say. I say jazzed a lot. Like there's certain words and phrases that I use so that then I can sprinkle those throughout the copy. So instead of my sign off being like, have a great day, it could be like, so jazzed you're here. Right. And then sign off. And that just gives a little sprinkle of personality. So like putting together a word closet for yourself, I think is really beneficial. And I think also the other thing that you can do is giving yourself the permission for it to be messy. I've tried for the longest time to give people, because I've taught the society live 5 times, I've tried so hard to be like, okay, I'm going to make it so you could bust out an email really fast. And what I've realized from doing it 5 times is it doesn't matter. I can give you the freaking entire setup and people are still going to come to Hot Seats and go, it's so hard for me. Because really it's up here. It's like managing your mind. So what I've started to shift away from, instead of like, we still have it, here's how to structure the email, here's what you're looking for. But I spend a lot of time now in the beginning of the recordings of the teachings, like a shit ton of time on mindset, because that's going to help you the most. Is I can still give you the 3 steps, but you just got to allow yourself for it to be messy and to be a beginner, and that you don't have to be the best at it. I'm not the best at it, by the way. I'm not, but I do it my way. I read other copy people and I'm like, damn, these people are like, yes, at the game, like at the game, right? Like at the core of the art of copywriting, I do not consider myself at all. This is why I love Erin French on The Lost Kitchen, because this is how she talks about it. But I consider what I've done really well is just come in fully as who I am. And that's the experience I can offer my clients. If you're looking to have all of the best copywriting tricks in the world, there's probably people better than me. But if you're looking to really bring your full expression and like have fun with it, and like this relationship and this community building that comes with your words, then I'm definitely the person for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't really follow a lot of copy people, but I know that was one of the things that did like make me resonate with you. It's like, it's it. Yeah. Besides over flights of beer.
Totally. Yep.
But it is bringing that. And I feel like today, especially, we want that connection. I think people, even, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners, that it's not so much about perfection anymore, that it is way more about that connection and being real and getting away from that what we're supposed to be and just being, just show up as us and just embracing that. And that's really what, you know, I love about following you. And I just want all the listeners to start really showing that's to me what I mean by the best self, the authentic self.
Yeah.
Is just be you. And it may not be beautiful, it may not be perfect, but you're going to attract the right people who are also looking for that. And or if you are a perfectionist, then be a perfectionist and own it.
Own it. Tell people about it. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, talk about it. I think the biggest thing is with authenticity is like, I think we do our best in the Copy Confidence Society to give you that barometer, like to give you something to go off of. But I think the problem with, in fact, I think we're asking people to do something that's a bit harder. I think in the old ways of doing business, it was like, okay, well, I just do what everyone else is doing and I'll click the steps. And this is the 5, 6, 7, 8 to a, I was a dancer, so I'll say like 5, 6, 7, 8 to, you know, a 6-figure business. And I think people are burnt out on that, are realizing it didn't work for them. They blame themselves or they blame their coach. And it's this cycle. And really what it is that like authenticity doesn't have a 5, 6, 7, 8. Like I can give you the barometer, but you have to be willing to be in that murky middle for a while. Mm-hmm. I had to do it myself because I remember in the beginning, I was like, well, this is what everyone else is doing. So shouldn't I be writing these like listicles and like 3 steps, which work for some people? But when I shifted and was just like, I'm going to do what I want inside the coffee shop Facebook group, like just talk about what I want and do it. Not only did I attract the people that I wanted, I was attracting people that were like not sucking out my soul. Like I was starting to create a community of people that like, yes, I really liked showing up for, you know? And that doesn't mean it comes without the haters.
No.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. We just got done with the launch. You wouldn't believe the people that wrote me emails to tell me what they didn't like to let me know about. And so I understand that that's really hard. I get that. So sometimes being authentic, it's like, it comes with that. And that's hard. Like, I'm like, okay, but I have to have tools in place to actually see that person for where they're at, take the feedback and not let it like derail me, which I think is, you got to have a real reason why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. If not, it's kind of like the actor world. It's like, if you don't have that skin in the game of like why you're doing this, it can be really easy to like let things influence you and make you feel bad about yourself. And I don't think that we should just say, okay, whatever, F it, I'm just going to keep going. You got to feel it. Like I got those things in my inbox. We just finished this launch a few weeks ago and it hurt my feelings, but I have tools in place and my skin in the game is so strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wallow in it for a second and then I move on.
Yeah. And it kind of looking at where a lot of people are just coming from. And I think people are just bolder today, virtually and online, that they feel they say things they would never say to somebody face to face. So
never. And okay. What I really found was people are like, and of course I want the feedback if I'm doing something where I've been, if I've ever done something that is offensive to somebody, and I really make this a priority in my business, if I've done something that has been perceived as, you know, racist or homophobic or transphobic or anti-Semitic, call me out, email me. I want that feedback. But what I was been very surprised with lately, we really only sell in our community twice a year. Everything else is really around the copy chat. And then we have these two moments that we sell into the society. And then I have my mastermind that runs. And I found that people are very allergic, or they get very like triggered when they see, especially me as an identify as a woman, as selling. All my emails came from other women that were telling me what was up. All came from other women. And I thought, wow, why do we do this like to ourselves? Like, this is a business, obviously, you know? And it is so weird to see a community where, you know, we've given over $50,000 to charity, where the copy chat is completely free, where we sell just twice a year. But I realized that people are so triggered by this about what it means to make money and how to do it, that I try to come from it from a place of compassion and understanding. But I definitely said to my husband, okay, it's time to go to a microbrewery. I'm ready for a beer flight.
Yeah. And you know what I think with that, Marisa? You arrived. You have arrived. You're getting a lot of hate mail, right? Isn't that like...
Yeah. And I think that that... And I think that... It, so. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of the game. And I think that can deter people from creating a bigger... It's not so often that you don't know what you're good at or how to put it out. It's not... I see it again and again. There's that fear of being visible. And I get it, because you... Not you might. You will get people who... Brené Brown talks about this, and she did this special on Netflix a few years ago, and I loved it so much. She talked about where she'd go into places to teach, you know, to do her Brené Brown like magic. And she would tell people that, you know, when you play big in the arena of life, you will fail. And then people would inevitably leave the class. They'd come up to her afterwards. They're like, okay, Brené, I'm ready. I know that I'm going to do this. I know I might fail. And she'd be like, time out. Not you might fail. You will fail. And I remember sitting there with like my glass of Sauvignon Blanc on the couch and a blanket going, oh my God, this is so true. So you will get people that disagree with you, but you just have to be strong in your copy star, be strong in why you're doing this, and, you know, be gracious and move on.
Yep. And have those one or two people that you can call and say, just tell me I'm wonderful again.
100%. You have to. My husband is, I mean, if that, you know, I'm lucky that my partner can be that person for me. I know not everybody has that, but poor Eric, he has to hear. I'm like, and it's funny because I'm a Leo and I live with a Leo. Like I'm a Leo. My husband's a Leo. So sometimes our energy like matches each other's, where Eric's like, please, with that person. What? You know, so that's why I also have my friends who are a little bit like, you know, maybe they're Capricorns or they come a little bit of the opposite end of the spectrum. They're a little bit calmer than me and they don't have that fiery attitude. And yeah, 100%. I have my business besties, one of my closest friends, Dashika, my friend Christine, Diana, Taryn. Those are my people that like I go to get that, you know, to get that comfort and that support. Yeah.
Yeah. We need those. Yeah. I can read. I'm part Cajun. So that just comes out whenever there's something. It's like,
totally. Right. I'm Italian too. It's like, what, who wrote this email? Like who sent this email? You know? So it's like,
where do they live?
Oh, 100%. Let me go look at their website and see they're over here talking to me about copy. I'm like, let me check this website out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But being okay, being human about it. I think that everybody, like, I think that if I have seen with my clients working closely with them, Sherry, that's usually it. I can get you to realize your copy start quite quickly. I'm really good at these things, but there is this is the real work is to be able to do it despite what other people might think or say. And I get that that's a process and we have to give ourselves that time to do it. I think that's where we really start to see that change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, oh my gosh, Marisa, I knew this would be a great conversation. And I always tell people before I hit the record button that sometimes the conversation goes in different directions and I usually just kind of let it. And we went all around in this conversation.
Yeah, it's good. I was like, this is good. I want a recording of this for myself so I can listen to what I said. So I can listen to my own advice.
So I thank you so much for all of that. And I hope the listeners did hear. I mean, there were really a lot of nuggets on copy. We did get to that. But also just business skills of just that there are going to be messy moments. There are going to be things that and people that hurt our feelings. There's going to be mistakes that we make. I mean, we are human, but it's because we're human that we can be amazing. And to show up that way, to show up as, again, your best human self and be okay with the mistakes we make. You know, of course, we want to do our best, but that just know it's part of it. My son, he's a data analyst. He does numbers.
He's a nerdtastic leader.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And he works in Baltimore and they're beginning this whole new rollout thing for the city of Baltimore that he's very involved in. He's like, now that it's out there, he's like, I'm so worried I'm going to make a mistake. And kind of like Brene Brown, it's like, Jake, you're dealing with computers and people.
You will.
Yeah. There's going to be mistakes. Like you just have to be ready for them. You do your best. You look for things, you try to catch them, but we all make mistakes and we just have to be, you know, ready for them, accept them, and not let them stop us from showing up and doing what we are put on this earth to do. So,
yeah, I think if you can do that. Like it's so everything else can fall into place. If you just know how to like respond to it and not let it derail you, I think it just opens up so much more possibilities in our lives, no matter like what niche or industry you're in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marisa, if people want to follow you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I think the best place is to come on over to the Copy Chat Facebook group, which you can just search for right on Facebook. It's the Copy Chat. That's the best place. I go live in there every week. It's a really, really fun community where we talk about everything from subject lines to like what we're watching on Netflix, like the conversation. It's a really great community. And also I mentioned before, Instagram really is a place that I love. And I'm at M Tony with an I, M as in Marisa, T-O-N-I, on there. So those would be my two favorite places.
Great. And get on Marisa's email list because she does write the best emails too. And I'll have all that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, if you come on over to the Copy Chat, it's one of the questions we ask you. We have this really great, the 50 plus scroll stopping subject lines, which can take your emails from like, you know, meh to must read now. And there's kind of three formulas in there, one with a little help from Cosmo Magazine. Like there's a couple little formulas and there's full emails as exam. I kind of went overboard on this lead magnet, I'll just tell you, but it's there. And once if you grab that, then you'll be included in our email community. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for your time today. And one of these days, you never know, maybe when you're upstate New York or we're down south, we'll go to
a brewery tour. It's a must. Thank you, Sherry. Right,
thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, friends, I hope you loved this episode with Marisa, and make sure to check out her website where you can grab the 50-plus scroll stopping subject lines freebie that she has for you. And the link is in the show notes. And also, if you're enjoying this series, make sure you hit the subscribe to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast and come back on Thursdays and Tuesdays. That's when new episodes do drop. And we do have two more in this series. I'm going to be going live and sharing how to show up as your best authentic self as a leader in business and in your own life, because we do lead our own lives. And also, we have another guest featured who is going to help us show up as our best selves with our image, whether it be online in a Zoom meeting or in person. And Brandon is an image expert who I know you're going to love all the tips that she has to share. So again, thanks for being a listener to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. If you found this show valuable, do me a favor and do your friends a favor. Share this episode online or just message it to somebody that might enjoy it as well. And or if you could leave a review, that's always helpful to us. That just shows the audience and shows other podcast listeners that this one's worth listening to. So I appreciate you, and go out and make it a fabulous day. Hey friends, thanks as always for listening to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. I really do appreciate your time and for you being here. And a few quick things before you do go. Number one, if you haven't yet, can you leave a review if you find these shows valuable? Reviews really do matter to iTunes and to others so that they know this episode or this podcast is worth taking the time to listen to out of the millions of podcasts out there. And you never know, I might just read your review on a future episode. Number two, make sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be one of the first to know when a new episode downloads. And three, if you've been enjoying this series on the Clifton Strengths 34, this is a huge one. Can you take a screenshot? Post that picture on your Instagram or Facebook account. Make sure you tag me in it and let me know why you loved that episode and what you're enjoying about the series. And of course, if you've done the Clifton Strengths Assessment, make sure to include your top five. And number four, and the last thing, if you take your assessment and you feel a little stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do with this information right now, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on email and, of course, the DMs and Facebook and Instagram. And I would love to talk you through how to really tap into your talents so you can turn them into your superpowers and your strengths. Thanks again for listening to the show.